Anybody need an offering envelope? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Remember, you're not happy unless your face has been notified. Hallelujah. Presence. Hallelujah. Hey, Deb. Remind me that after the service to go out and get Aunt Helen's tithes. I left them in my truck, okay? Hallelujah. Glory to God. She's one of the few Christians that went on vacation and left her tithe. Somebody say amen or oh me. You ready to give this morning? We're still worshiping God in our giving. Hallelujah. Let's pray and you can give. Father, we love you. We praise you. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, Father, for seed that we can sow into your kingdom. We thank you, Father, to place that seed in the hand of a mighty, awesome God, that you'll multiply it. You'll use it to expand your kingdom, and you'll cause a harvest back to the sower. For that, we give you glory, honor, and praise this morning, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to use my little buddy this morning. Hallelujah. I'm going to need my Bible, too. Better get that, Floyd. I always like to go on vacation. It's never long enough, but I always miss my church. That's the truth. I ain't just making that one up. Thanks. Thanks. That's what I was looking for, Charles David, but you're the only one. You're the only one that missed me. Hallelujah. Everybody get an opportunity to give. Let's pray and get into God's word. Amen. Father, we love you. We thank you for your word and what it means to us. And Father, as we study your word this morning, we just ask that you would anoint our ears to hear and our hearts to receive your word. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said, amen. Always on vacation. You know, my wife, she's been in this, I don't know what you call it, but it's a group exercise. And they compete against each other, see how far they can walk, you know. And my wife walked like 161 miles in a week. Now, she tried to drag me out there. I went three times, but I only went so far. You know, no, I went 3 miles one way. The problem with going 3 miles up the beach one way is you got to go 3 more miles back the other way. Unless you want to sneak up the road and grab a cab or something, you know, which is definitely not above me, okay? I thought about it, all right? But she walked way past the 3 mile marker. I said, oh, I ain't going there. You never let me eat breakfast. My sugar might drop if I go that far, you know. I had a little bit of an excuse there. But anyway, it's always good to get back. Amen. And, you know, any time that I'm ever on the beach, of course, Debbie likes to see the sunrise. We're on vacation. We don't have to see the sunrise. She has to see the sunrise at the beach. But anytime I go out to the beach on vacation and I see the sunrise, God's presence will always show up. Amen. I can't explain it, but his presence always shows up, and he always deals with me. And so while I was down there, I pulled out an old book, okay? And I pulled it out on Kindle, all right? I have this particular book in a paperback cover. And I still prefer the paper books, but, you know, one good thing about the Kindle, you can carry 200 books with you, and it don't weigh much, you know. You go trying to pack around a whole bunch of books, and you're going to get a bad back. So I pulled out an old book, and I started to read it, and I didn't really want to read it, but I started reading it. And one of the reasons I didn't want to read it is I knew the Holy Spirit would convict me. See, some of these guys like Leonard Ravenhill and Tommy Tenney and who's the guy that wrote God in Pursuit of Man? Tozier. You read those guys, they had such tremendous revelation of God. And one of the things one of those men said was that truth, which is God, but he said when you study the Word of God and you're studying truth, he said truth is just God's footprints. It leads to God. And I read this a long time ago, back in 95, when this book by Tommy Tenney called God Chasers came out. I don't know if any of you read. And I read that thing two or three times, and I didn't want to read it because I knew what was in it. But I just felt this overwhelming sense that I needed to start reading it again. Because in that, he says, truth are things about God. But revelation is when you come in contact with God. And you know, some of my greatest moments in the presence of God is when I've been studying. And when I've been studying and God shows up and reveals the truth to me, but I know it's God's presence there. Amen? So I want to share something with you this morning. I want to draw you something that you ought to be familiar with. This is the tabernacle of Moses. Remember, it had an outer court. This is where the altar sacrifice was, the brazen laver that they washed in. Then in here was the inner court was the altar of incense, the table of showbread, and the menorah. See, I just taught you how to draw a menorah real quick. Okay, and here was the Ark of the Covenant. And this describes where most Christians are in their relationship with God. Most Christians are blood-bought born again. Amen? There's a lot of Christians, they got saved, and that's where they're at. Okay, they're saved, they're hanging on, holding out till Jesus comes. I mean, after all, we live in a wicked, perverse world. So just hang on till he comes. And they're right here. They're in the outer court. That's all they're ever going to have of God. They've got fire insurance. Don't get mad at me. I'm just telling you the truth, okay? And then some Christians are in here. They're in the inner court. That's where a lot of us are. You know how I know we're in the inner court? Because it's the outer court and the inner court where all the work is done. You know, they had to light the menorah. They had to keep the fire of this altar burning all the time. They had to make sure they were cleansed in the laver before they went in here. But they would take fire off of this altar and put it in this the altar of incense every day. So all the work is being done. See, they're busy. They're saved. Some of them are filled with the Holy Ghost, but they're busy. Do you remember, anybody remember the statistics I read you the other night? Well, if you don't remember, that's good because I've still got them. Better let me remember them for you. I'll help you out here, okay? Americans collectively check their smartphones 46 million times a day. Wow. We spend 9 hours and 22 minutes in front of various screens. iPhones, computers, TV screens, Kindles. Okay. TV, internet, tweeting, texting consume 90% of all Canadians' time. I guess it's because all the snow and cold weather, they don't have anything else to do. Australians spend more time tweeting than sleeping. United Kingdom, Europe, South Africa, they're all about the same. South Korea and Japan spend 7 hours per day on digital media devices. Wow. And see, then you and I, we're on all those screens. We're checking that iPhone 46 million times a day. Now, that's all of us collectively. And so that just keeps us busy. Huh? We have jobs and responsibilities that keeps us busy, right? See, let me explain something to you real quick. There was a veil 6 inches thick right here between the inner court and the Holy of Holies, amen, the presence of God. And on the outside of that were two images of cherubim, fiery angels, because that's what God placed outside the Garden of Eden. When he put man outside the garden, because he didn't want man to live in a fallen state forever. Amen. So he places man outside the garden. He guards it with two cherubim. You've heard me say many times that those cherubim became a symbol of access to the Father has been denied. Amen. Right? So in this inner court, Or in this Holy of Holies, was the presence of God. And only one time a year did the high priest enter the Holy of Holies to sprinkle the blood of bulls and goats upon the mercy seat, the angel's wings here. Amen. And then he would come out, and that signified that God had accepted the sacrifices of Israel for 1 year. Did somebody tell me what day that was that he went in every year? Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, once every year. However, do you remember what the Gospels tell us about Jesus' death at Calvary? When he said it is finished and he gave up the ghost, the Bible says, he died and his spirit went to be with the Lord. When he died, the veil here ripped in half. Now it was no longer a symbol of access denied. I mean, I can tell you something, folks. I can tell you for a fact. Well, I can't tell you for a fact. But in my pea brain, I can just see the Father who's been back here for so long. Oh, he wasn't there when Jesus died. He had long left that temple, okay? Because of the corrupt priesthood and the corruption of the people, he had done left. His presence was gone. But I'm going to tell you something. That veil didn't rent by accident. I think there's probably an archangel on this side, maybe one on this side, and God said, get ready, get ready, get ready, boys. That's old Bishop Jake saying, get ready, get ready, get ready. What's he talking about? He's talking about God doing something big. And I can just see the Father as Jesus is dying, anticipating that veil being rent in half. Now no longer is God going to be trapped in a temple made by man, but now he says, I'm going to dwell in a temple that I've made. Amen. He's going to dwell in you. A.W. Tozier says that God has always been in pursuit of man. Amen. But here's my problem. I can honestly say in my life, and this is after I've been blood-bought and spirit-filled, I haven't always been in pursuit of him. Amen. I've been busy. Yeah. You been busy? Amen. I've been busy. You can see, if you go to the north side of my house, you can see how busy I've been for the last 5 months. Because it's white, but the north side of my house is green. Because I've been so busy, I haven't taken time to pressure wash it. And to throw my grandson under the bus, neither has he. Busy. We're busy. We're Marthas. Yes. Mary chose to be at Jesus' feet, but Martha said, oh, there's too much to do. Yeah. But Jesus said Mary's chosen what's important. And I don't care if it's your house. I don't care if it's, you're going to get mad at me. I don't care if it's your kids. I don't care if it's your job. If you're not getting into the Holy of Holies, then you're just way too busy. I'm preaching to the preacher this morning, okay? We're just way too busy. See, you know what? We think about stuff. We think about stuff. There is stuff going on with our houses, with our kids. There's stuff that keeps us up at night. But I'll tell you what's not keeping us up is a hunger and a thirsting for God's presence. Now, I done been to the building with God this week. See, vacations aren't all rosy, especially if you're trying to listen to God. He done had me out to the shed. Now I'm just taking you out there where he's at. Amen. You got to search your own heart. Because we're just way too busy. And like Tommy Tenney said, it takes somebody special to run hard after God. Turn with me, if you would, to Psalm 63. Because I'll tell you, more than getting my house, I wish I could say my house was green on that north side because I've been running after God all summer, but that'd be a lie. I've been busy, but it hasn't been running after him. I'm going to try to correct that. Are you ready? Psalm 63. Now, I'm going to be just a tad political for 30 seconds. But then I'm going to get back on task. Because this scripture is just too good. Too good to pass up. Oh God, this is Psalm 63, verse 1, page 733. Oh God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory, because your loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise you. Thus I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches, because you have been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of your wings, I will rejoice. Watch. My soul follows close behind you. Your right hand upholds me. But those who seek my life to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for jackals. But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone who swears by him shall glory. But the mouth of those who speak lies shall be stopped. Now let me just be political for 30 seconds. In about 3 weeks, 23 days, in 24 days, some of us will be on an airplane to Israel. In 23 days, we have an election in this country. Amen? Amen. And here's a good prayer. Lord, stop the mouth of those who speak lies. Amen? Amen. Replace those. I don't care if you're a Democrat or Republican or independent or whatever you are. Me, personally, I like to be known as a child of God. You can pray that prayer. Stop the lies. Whatever side of the aisle. Stop the lies and replace ungodly men and women with godly men and women. Amen? Bible says when the righteous rule, the people rejoice. Amen? So you ought to be praying that diligently in the next 3 weeks, next 23 days. Amen? And ask God's wisdom on who you should vote for. Yes. All right? Now, let's get back to the text, my message, being too busy. Go back to verse 1. Oh God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. When's the last time you could say that you actually hungered and thirst after God? No, that, see, we all, let me, that's a good question. That's a really good question. See, there are things in our life that are priorities, right? There are things in our life. I'll tell you what, there's probably some men in here thinking, I hope the preacher gets done a little bit before 1 because the Bengals kick off at 1 o'clock. Maybe not, okay? Maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm the one that's hoping the preacher will be done by 1 o'clock because the Browns kick off at 1 o'clock. Maybe it's just me. But that's a very good question, Charles David. See, we, when something is a priority for us, we make sure that we put in our house, doctor's appointments are a high priority. As you get older, they even become more of a priority. And you put them on the, I put them on the counter. I just take the paper they print me out and I put it right on the refrigerator. Why would you do it there? Well, because you know a fat boy is going to get in that refrigerator several times before he ever has that appointment. But that appointment's important to me. Okay? As a diabetic, it's real important to me because I want to know where I'm at. Because I know I have to do certain things in order to keep my eyesight. Well, aren't you believing God? I am believing God. But you know what? I believe that all wisdom comes from God. Amen. If I keep eating apple pies by the whole pie full, it's not going to do my eyesight any good, is it? I need to do wisdom. But I need to use God's wisdom. But here's what I'm telling you, Charles David. When I'm talking about hunger and thirsting after God, I'm talking about making God a priority. Just like those other things on your calendar. How many of you have ever said, in the morning, I'm going to get up. I'm going to seek God early. See, the psalmist says, seek him early. Why? You know why? What? Every day. Mike seeks him every day. Keep praying for me. Amen. Amen. See, they got some of them's got their ducks in a row. But what I'm talking about is making God a priority every day. The psalmist says, seek him early. You know why I have to seek him early? Because when my phone starts ringing, it's over. It's over for the day. There's a multitude of things that are going to try to drag me away from God. So I must seek him in the morning. So when I say hunger and thirst after God, when's the last time we made God a priority? My time with God must be a priority. Your time with God must be a priority. I can't take you into the Holy of Holies, into the presence of God. The only person that can do that is you. And I will tell you something about your Father, your Heavenly Father. He wakes in the morning. Now, that's not theologically correct, okay? Because the Bible says God never slumbers nor sleeps. But just so you understand where God's heart is, I believe that if he could sleep, how's that? He would wake up in the morning in anticipation of you speaking to him. Amen. God wakes in anticipation of you speaking to him. God has chosen you to dwell in. I'm struggling with that one. I mean, that's just so wild and crazy that the creator of the universe wants to dwell in his creation. But the idea is to hunger and thirst, to make God such a priority. See, my father, I'm going to tell on him a little bit. He eats the same thing for breakfast every day. 1 week, we'll go to Bob Evans. He gets up, he showers, he gets dressed, and he comes looking for me and my brother. Are we going to Bob Evans? Or are we going to McDonald's? If we go to Bob Evans, he's going to get a bowl of oats, pecans, a little brown sugar, and whole wheat toast. If we go to McDonald's, he's going to get an iced vanilla coffee and a chicken biscuit. He's going to get the same thing. On occasion, he might change up at Bob Evans and get a couple of eggs and bacon. But it's very rare. But the point is, now that he's older, he has a routine. The only thing that gets him out of that routine is if he has to get hair done or nails done. Maybe he has to take mom to get them done. Okay? That's the only thing that gets him out of that routine. But he's in a routine. And you know what? It's good. Routines are good. And you know what? It's good. It would be good in our life if we would keep our priorities to the point that we seek God. Oh, I left something out. Every day before he showers, he has an A.W. Tozier book that I got him years ago. Called the Holy Spirit, and it's a daily devotional. Before he showers, he reads whatever A.W. Tozier had to say about God that day. And you know, we need to be in a routine. We need to make God a priority. Years ago, we did a youth camp. I'm way off my notes. I don't know how I'm going to get back. We did a youth camp, and the theme was purpose, priorities, and passion. And the idea was, if you knew your purpose, and I see so many young people today, they have no idea what God's purpose for their lives is. But the idea is, if you understand your purpose and you develop your priorities for that purpose, you will have a passion for what God has called you to do. Amen? And you know, first of all, we all have the same purpose. Every one of us has the same purpose in life. Now, we may have a different vocation. Some might be called to be nurses. Some people might be called to be veterinarians or truck drivers or whatever. Different vocations, but we have the same purpose, and that is to be created and molded into the image of his Son. Amen. Amen? Why? In order that we might let that light shine to this world. Amen? We're not the high. I know we live in a. I think Peter calls it a wicked and perverse generation. I know we live in that generation. I know we live in a dark world, but we're not to pull back from that world. We're to be different. We're to be other than. We're to let that light shine in this world. Amen. It's because we've been called to a higher purpose. Was not Jesus persecuted? Did people not mouth off to him? Did the religious leaders try to trick him? Did they eventually get around to nailing him to a cross? Sure. But yet he's able to say on the cross, Father, forgive them because they know not what they do. I pulled in a Go-Mart the other day in West Virginia. And I'm getting out and this older gentleman pulls in behind me and says, hey, next time you go on one of them short jaunts, you might want to look both ways. Brrr, drove off. I'm trying to figure out, what is he talking about? Evidently, the only thing I can think about is evidently I must have pulled out in front of him. I didn't see him. But he didn't give me no chance. He didn't give me no chance to say, hey, you know, what's bothering you? I started walking over to him. I was going to talk to him. But I'm pretty sure I had a mean look on my face. I'm pretty sure. Because when I turned around, how come I'm always one telling on me? You guys never tell on you. Maybe y'all got it together. But I remember turning around. When I turned around, I was mad. See, so I think it was a God thing. He drove off. I didn't really realize what I did. If I would have known that I pulled out in front of him, I would have apologized. Or I'd like to have thought I could apologize. But see, it's just like how mad that guy was. The world doesn't need us to act that way. The world needs us to act like Jesus. Did he? Yeah. Yeah. So Mike hollered at you and you circled the block mad. What was you going to do when you got around there? Whoop somebody? All right, I'm having enough trouble with this message on my own. Turn with me real quick to Psalms 42. Psalms 42, page 720. Praise God. God chose us to dwell in us, even in our imperfections. Psalms 42, verse 1 says, as the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, where is your God? Things weren't going right for the psalmist here, are they? No. And people have challenged him while he's going through difficult times. Where is your God? Where is your God? He's crying out to God, and he says, as the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Glory to God. I want you to turn to Psalms 105. 105. Hallelujah. Praise his mighty name. It says in verse 4, page 767. We'll start in verse 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him, sing psalms to him, talk of all his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face forevermore. I'm going to skip over a lot of stuff. There are two Hebrew words used in the text. There's that birdie chirping again. Two Hebrew words in the text for seek. One is darash. One is bakash. This one means to search carefully. And this one, make sure I get it right, this one actually means to request something. Okay? So to seek God is to search carefully. We also seek God in order to make a request. How many of your children aren't where they ought to be with God? Okay. We would seek God, requesting God. A good prayer for your children is, Father, let your Holy Spirit hover and brood over them. Bring their heart to the place they'll make Jesus Christ Lord. And send a labor across their path to bring them into your kingdom. Because you telling them they're going to hell hasn't worked. Huh? Hadn't worked for me either. Don't look at me like that. You know? Tell them they're going to hell's not working. But ask God's Spirit. Ask God to allow His Spirit to hover and brood over and bring their hearts. That's how you got saved. No man comes unto the Father unless the Spirit of God woos and draws him. Amen? See, that's what A.W. Tozer talks about in his book, God in Pursuit of Man. It's always God in pursuit, God wooing, God drawing. Amen? So, two words for seek: to search carefully. And then there is to request something of God. We're seeking God because we have a need. But are we seeking after God just for God? To be in His presence. Amen? All right, I want to keep going. I'm going to go somewhere else. If I find it here. Here we go. I'm going to finish with these. I want you to turn to Deuteronomy first. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 25. Hallelujah. Let's start verse 23, I believe. Then he brought us out from there that he might bring us in to give us the land of which he swore to our fathers. He's talking about God bringing them out of Egypt, out of the bondage of the Egyptians. And it says, and the Lord commanded us to observe all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is this day. Now watch. Then it will be righteousness for us if we are careful to observe all these commandments before the Lord our God as he has commanded us. When you think of God's commands, does anything come to mind when you think of any command? Ten Commandments? How about if anybody in the service? Tom was in the service. Anybody else in the service? Here, we've got a couple more in the service. Did the sergeants and the people higher than you, did they ever give out commands? Huh? Sure they did. So a lot of times if you've been in the military and you hear the word command, there's no option there, is there? There's no option in the military to disobey your commanding officer, right? He spoke, you commanded. And the word for command in Hebrew is this word. Mitzvah. Okay, this is a word for command. But the interesting thing about this word, and I'm going to share this with you, is, I'll make sure I spell this other one right. The root word for this is sava. Now, sava means direction. It's a little different, isn't it? Think about that. God's command, he's not commanding us like some general commanding troops. The reason God wants us to observe his commands is because God is directing our lives. Amen. Amen. When John the Baptist comes out of the wilderness in Matthew chapter 3, what's his message? Somebody tell me. Repent, because the kingdom of heaven is at hand, right? Why are we to repent? Why does our relationship with God begin at repentance? Because it is repentance that prepares the heart for direction. Amen. I know some of you, you used to be teenagers. You didn't like what your parents told you to do. Matter of fact, many of you rebelled against what you were told to do. How many of you have ever let these words utter come across your lips? Don't you tell me what to do. You ain't my boss. Don't you tell me what to do. I said it several times, but I was clear across the street. I'm smarter than that. But I still rebelled. So it's repentance that prepares the heart for God's direction. But I grew up in a church that told me that God was just waiting for me to mess up so he could get on to me. I didn't realize, you know, I used to look at God's commands and say, well, gee, he doesn't want me to have any fun. No, it wasn't that he didn't want me to have any fun. It's he didn't want me to experience the heartache of what my sin and iniquity was going to lead me into. Amen. So it's upon repentance that God's commands, they're not commands, but it's upon repentance that our heart is prepared for God's direction in our lives. Amen. And if we'll truly listen to the direction of God in our lives, I don't believe we can help but to run after him. Amen. Amen. If we make God's direction in our lives a priority, we'll enter into that holy place, into his presence. Amen. I hope that makes sense to you, because this is what God's been dealing with me. Now, I said Sunday night, I talked about Elijah Sunday night. Or not Sunday night, Wednesday night. I talked about Elijah. And you know, Elijah had this great victory. 450 prophets of Baal. 450 of them. He said, you get a bull, I'll get a bull. You cut your bull up, we'll cut my bull up. You offer up your bull to your God, to Baal, and I'll offer mine up to my God, and whichever bull is consumed by fire wins. That's the God we'll serve. And Elijah tells the children of Israel to choose who you're going to serve. And so, the prophets of Baal, nothing's happening. They're praying, they're chanting, they're dancing, nothing's happening. They're cutting themselves, nothing happened. You know, and Elijah kind of mocks him and says, hey, maybe he's asleep. Maybe you'll have to holler a little louder, wake him up. Nothing happens. Elijah commands the young men around him, fill the water pots. They pour it on the sacrifice. They do it again and again and again, four times they do it. And the Bible says that there's water in the ditches all around the sacrifice. And Elijah prays. He prays to Yahweh. And Yahweh, the God of Israel, consumes the sacrifice, laps up all the water in the ditches. Elijah executes or kills the 450 prophets of Baal. He has had a great victory. But Jezebel, the queen, says, I'm going to get him. I'm going to kill him. The next thing we know, Elijah is feeling sorry for himself. God ends up feeding him, watering him, and he ends up in a cave. He steps outside the cave, and there's an earthquake, and what else is there? Fire, and there's wind, and then there's a still small voice. But the Bible says clearly that God was not in the earthquake. God is not in the fire. God is not in the wind. Now, I'm going to relate that to you. I'm going to do my best. God's not in all the stuff that's keeping you so busy. But God was in the still small voice that Elijah finally heard. And you know what we come up with Wednesday? We decided that if you're going to hear God, you've got to listen. And you know what? You don't necessarily have to have, you know, music going to where it's blowing your hair, if you got hair. Some of us don't have much, where it's blowing your hair straight back. Don't have to be that loud. You don't have to have noise to prevent you from listening. You just have to have your brain occupied by something else. All those screens that we spend our time with are preventing us from hearing the voice of God. Now, I know this wasn't a fireball message, you know, preach the paint off the walls, but I want to tell you something. I'm hungry for God. I'm just really, really tired of the status quo. You know, God said he was going to do something special in our midst. Yeah. And you know what? We could have went to any church. I couldn't have, but you could have went to any church you wanted to this morning. But you came here. And we're not the biggest church. We're not the best looking church. We're probably the best looking group of people inside any church. But you know what? If we're going to be known by something, I want people to know that we are a people in the presence of God. Amen. That God is with. Amen. And it's going to take all of us collectively seeking God ourselves. Amen. I can't seek him for you. Shoot, I'm struggling to seek him for myself some days. I can't seek him for you. You have to seek him yourself. Amen. You got to get your priorities in order. I got to tell you, one thing I hate is being in God's, for God to take me out to the woodshed. It's not that God's so hard on me. It's I'm harder on myself because I'm like, I knew this. I've been a Christian for how long? I've been serving God since 1990, September 7th, 1990. Now, before that, I was in and out of church, you know, like a lot of young men and young women are. Since 1990, I know what my priorities ought to be. Somebody say, amen or me. And so I just have to get myself back on track. See, it was the priest's duty to keep the wood, the fire on the altar burning. Not the pastors, not your neighbors, not your spouses. It's yours. It's your responsibility. Amen. So let's purpose in our heart to give God more time and make him more of a priority. Amen. Just bow your heads for a minute. Just bow your heads for a minute. Just for a few moments. Just listen to the voice of God. Just for a few moments. Father, I just lift up these, your people. Father, help us to get our priorities in order, to seek your face, to run hard after you, to allow your commands to direct us. Because we know you're directing us into your presence. Father, I just pray for these, your people today, that you will bless them spiritually, physically, financially, bless them in every area of their life. Father, give us someone this week that we can share the goodness of God with. For that, we give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. In the mighty name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus, our Messiah, we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen, amen. Look up at me. Now, not every one of us are going to Israel. I hate that. I wish I was more...